what it means to be the church and how to live into this new life that we have in Christ. And he says this in verse 1 of chapter 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Listen close. By the mercies of God. Because we hear the rest of that, I hear the rest of that, and I think to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and I'm thinking, this? Really? Holy and acceptable to God? Not likely. Most days it doesn't quite feel that way. At this point in life, there's mornings this body's not even acceptable to me, and it's mine. But to be presented holy and acceptable to God, which is my spiritual worship, I'm thinking that seems like it's above my pay grade. And it is. Because what you need to hear first, brothers and sisters, and the thing that I often miss is by the mercies of God. By the mercy of God, by God's power, you can now, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, present yourself holy to God. Amen? That is what Paul is trying to put across. You, as a living sacrifice, not whatever else you may find to offer in sacrifice, give yourself to God. All of you. And verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And now the struggle begins. Because, man, we can, yes, through Jesus, I'm acceptable to God. Here I am, Lord. And he goes, "Go, I'm so glad you're here. Now I need you over here." And we're like, "I'm busy that day. I'm not sure I got time for that. Let me check my calendar and I'll see what I can fit in." See, we come to this understanding that through Jesus Christ, we are going to be aligned with the will of God, which, by the way, God's will is that you be reconciled to him. When all else fails, what is it God wants? He wants you. That's it. Now, he doesn't want you just for nothing. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. He created you for something. We don't always know what it is, and sometimes it shifts and changes. I'm living proof of that. But the reality is, he is calling. He is reconciling us to him by his mercy, by his strength, by his abilities, not by yours. What we can do to be fully reconciled to God is say, "Here I am, presenting myself to you. By your mercy, I can be blameless, holy, and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." But it has a reason for it. And the struggle, it's just there, because we want it. Everything in our being is just screaming out for it. When we come close to it and we hear the truth, we're like, "That's true." Then we hear this in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." Well, that's easy for you to say, God. You don't have to work on Sunday. Well, I do. Or you don't know what it's like. I'm busy. I got all these things to do, and I have that to do, and I have a boat, and golf clubs, and desires. And God says, but I want you reconciled to me. And we struggle. That's our fight. It's not a new fight. It's the same old struggle. Then there's this reality that Paul continues to speak of being a part of this body. And God speaking clearly in Scripture, Paul reiterating to the church, he says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you." Here's a little heads up. When Paul starts a phrase, by the grace given to me, or anything that sounds similar to that, that he is now speaking from an authority given to him by God as a leader in his church. And he's saying that because people probably don't want to hear what he's saying next. There's a reality to that. He goes, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." See, here's this thing that happens. When we hear this concept of being made holy and acceptable to God, the way in which we initially recognize that is we bring people into the body of Christ through baptism. We're washed, recognizing that going down to death and being raised again with Christ. That is our baptism. It's symbolic, and that's what brings us into the body. The problem is nobody really warns you for what it looks like to live in the body of Christ, because it's us, and we're damaged, and we're broken, and we struggle. So apparently the church in Rome was trying to hang on to different things. They're bringing in their hierarchy, probably, in society, into the church, and Paul's saying, don't think that you're any better than the person next to you. You're just all another part of his body for his purpose and his glory. And we still struggle with that, I think, from time to time in the church. In case you're wondering if we did, take a drive after this and count how many churches are between here and wherever you're going next. And we can realize, oh, we're maybe not that good at staying together as one body. We have different desires, different needs, and sometimes, this is going to shock you. Sometimes there's other people in the body that we don't like. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. And sometimes there's people in the body, and sometimes it's even us, that are damaged and broken and they're hurting. And as a result, sometimes their behavior reflects their pain and not their heart. And we struggle with that. But Paul is saying, you're one body. Christ has called us in to be one body. Yes, we're broken and we're damaged and we're sinful and we're striving. Through the power of God, through his mercy is where that comes. But it still happens. So we have to try and do better. And I'd liken it to our physical body from time to time. So in the church, when we struggle with somebody, we can just say, I'm out, or hope that they'll leave. When the call is to struggle together so that we all might, through God's mercy and our offering of mercy to others, may grow to a different and deeper understanding of exactly who God is calling us to be. And I liken it again to the physical body. See, I have this wonderful thing called stenosis. Anybody familiar with that? Yeah, there you go. So what that means is if I don't take care of my body correctly, or if I overdo it or do something wrong, my hand is likely to go numb. It's never really fully awake, I got to be honest. But when that happens, I don't just cut my arm off and move on. I work through it. And honestly, there are times it is painful to work through it. But see, I value my hand. So I'm going to do whatever I can to hold on to it, to keep it functioning within this breaking down body that I carry around with me. The church is no different. Sometimes within us, somebody might go numb. And it might take some hard work, and maybe we went numb in the midst of it, and somebody needs to come alongside of us and say, hey, you got to wake up, you know, you got to fight your way through those pins and needles that are going to come so that you can be realigned with God's will, you being reconciled to him through the body and blood of Jesus Christ into his body for his purpose, for his glory. It's a struggle. Paul knows it's a struggle. And he's making this point a little bit. Don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think. Go where you're called to go. And each member has their place. Verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. You hear that? individually, we are members one of another. Entering into the body of Christ is not just about you. When you enter into the body of Christ, you are becoming a part of what God is creating, His reconciled people, striving together to do His work and His will. When you enter into the body and then exit, the body is broken. The body is incomplete. So as we enter into the body, we need to think about what's that reality. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not just about you. It is about the body whole. And when we think of ourselves being able to come to before God and present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and then He puts us into the body and we discover, not only do I not feel holy and acceptable to God, there's a bunch of people here that I'm not sure are holy and acceptable to God. But here we are, where we need to be, where God's calling us to be. And this is a bad word I discovered. As society progresses, I'm going to use a word that's going to offend some people in this room. When you join the body, you become accountable to the body. I don't know how it works in your life. I need accountability. My closest accountability partner is sitting over here. I always know when I'm not behaving as I should. I might say something and she looks at me and goes, "Oh, that was nice, Father." Believe me, my wife calls me Father, I better pay attention. Because that means I'm seriously not paying attention to something else. If she can't necessarily speak, she just lovingly reaches over and she taps on my collar to remind me whose I am and to be accountable for the fact that God has placed me in His body and that I should be reflecting Christ as a member of His body. There's accountability. I need it. I don't always like it, but I need it. So, as we live into this baptism, this entrance into the body, it's not just a personal moment. It is that, but it's a fulfillment of God's greater plan of building up His body as He builds up His kingdom for His purpose and for His glory. And when you are absent, the body's incomplete. So day by day, baptism by baptism, relationship by relationship, struggle to struggle, He is gathering us together. He is piecing together His body, reconciling us to Himself through the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And as He reconciles us to Himself and builds up His body, He is, in a sense, building up His kingdom for His purpose, for His will, and for His glory. As we gather this morning, assuming you still want to go through with it, we have the great joy of bringing two more into the body. We do this in multiple ways within the church. Here, people often think, and I've been to other churches like ours, they move the font in the front because nobody can see what's happening. But just so you know, any church I'm ever the priest in, the font will always be by the door, brothers and sisters, because you don't get into the body until you pass through the baptismal font. This morning, we bring two more into the fold with Celine and Serenity. I'm sorry, my brain and my handwriting is terrible, so we have to go get the rest of them. So I need your parents and godparents to come and stand with me, bring those prayer books, brothers and sisters in the pew. As this was not a fully planned thing, there are no slides for you. So feel free to pull that prayer book out. I'm going to encourage you, that's the red one if you're unfamiliar, got a little cross on the front. It might be black, but it's probably red. Let's just say it's